Kia ora tālo whārawha and welcome to Playmakers Rugby Stories, where each week we pick out one of the rugby characters of yesteryear and find out what they've been up to, but also divulge in some of the stories that we can actually find out about them. This week we've got Adam Thompson. Tomo, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Characters of yesteryear. What an introduction.
Hey.
I guess I'm in that category now, am I?
Well, you are a little bit, mate. I mean, let's. Well, what have you been up to? Have you formally retired?
Nah, I haven't formally retired. I've still got a little bit of itchy feet. Trying my hand at coaching, mate. Maybe play a little bit of club and see what happens.
Tell us what else you've been up to. I mean, you've spoken about the club rugby scene, but you're doing a little bit of coaching as well.
Yeah, a little bit of coaching, man. I had an opportunity to coach Hamilton Old Boys this year, so. Mate, jumped at that opportunity, sort of going through the levels, getting the coaching accreditation and just basically unpacking everything I've learned as a player and, trying to bring the next generation through.
I want to sort of start from the very beginning before we touch on that coaching role once again. But you're born in Ashburton. You ended up going to Christchurch Boys with some of, I suppose, one of our best rugby players in New Zealand that's just recently retired. How was that growing up? And did you ever imagine that you'd be, going down and playing for the Highlanders, after your sort of upbringing in Ashburton?
No, not really, man. Like I was a true homegrown Cantab, and loved my footy from an early age. Grew up on a farm and kind of had that rural lifestyle. And then I guess went to boarding school in Christchurch, a prep school called Midbury. So. I was quite young when I moved out of home and went up to the big city, and I was going back and forth playing for Mid Canterbury and the weekend in Midbury, so two games of rugby on footy. So, mate, I was pretty keen. Went to Christchurch Boys High and played some school grade stuff for Canterbury, and then my mates were going to uni, so jumped on that train and moved down south.
I mean, growing up in a small little town like that, I mean, was it your sort of goal to get on that race course and play for Mid Canterbury, one day in the NPC? Now, I've played there a couple of times for Southland, and mate, she's a heck of a ground.
Oh, mate, it's beautiful, eh? The Mid Canterbury Hammers. What a great outfit.
you moved to Christchurch. I mean, how was that boarding? In the big smoke.
Yeah, mate, it was pretty tough for a young fella, leaving. Home from such a young age. I think maybe 11 or 12 when I started boarding. So, away from your family, it was pretty strict. We only got home, a couple of weekends a term. So, you're pretty absorbed into that school boarding life. But, plenty of life lessons there. You learn a lot of independence and, you meet some, a big range of people coming from a small town like Ashburton, especially in the rural community. So that opened some doors. Like I said, getting to play two games of rugby on Saturday was a dream for a young kid, mate. Like, play for your school and then jump in the car and race down and try and catch the the game down in the gallery. So, mate, it was pretty awesome. And, I had parents that were super supportive. My mother – in particular, we went to took me to every training and every game, so a lot to be thankful for there.
I mean, you look back at sort of that as well, the support you've had from your family. But was it always a goal of yours to become an All Black? And when did you realise that?
It was, man. I think it was every little kid in New Zealand of that generation, I think, dreams of being an All Black at some stage. I remember a story going to the guidance counsellor, as you do, at high school and sitting down. I think I was first year at school, and he's, you sit those little, you go through the tests and answer questions, and they tell you what your ideal career choice is. And I was just like, look, mate, I'm going to be an All Black. I've got it sorted, and don't worry about it. And, he said to me, that's a lovely dream, mate, but we've got to, let's get some backup plans in place. And I was pretty adamant that I was going to be an All Black. So, I made up my mind pretty early.
Oh, I mean, you did. I mean, you had New Zealand's secondary schools. It was quite a big transition, making the secondary schools team, the under-19s, under-21. So you came right through the grades, but also universities, mate. So you've done a little bit of study. and you made the universities team. Out of those sort of those teams, would that have to be one of the best sort of achievements you made sort of at that age?
Yeah, I don't know if you played for universities team, but mate, that is that's a special type of rugby. Eh? Like it's you know, the rugby's fun. It's expansive. The tours are amazing. You know, getting to tour Japan as a young man. And you know, play against national sides, and you know that community around university rugby is pretty special too. I mean, I still get people I bump into and you know, tell stories about our university trips and you know some of the coaches and that. So you know, I definitely recommend that to you know any player that gets an opportunity to play university rugby, go for it.
What's it like? I mean, they say it's you're liking it to sort of you know, barbarians. And particularly some, you know, back then also the Maldives in terms of the preparation. That's, you know, you're fairly, you're over there in Japan, as you've just mentioned, and it's about getting to know each other, but also making sure that you tick everything off, you know, on the field. So perhaps not as professional as you might think, but also but the off-field antics. Tell us a bit more about that, man.
I don't know if I can tell you much about the off-field antics, Melzy, but... No, we definitely had a good time, but yeah, I think you've nailed it when you said it's like barbarians rugby. Like it's there's a huge amount of fun. There's some strange things that happen on the tour in terms of you know, trying to set up these unique special plays and you know, just have the freedom to go out there and play footy without a huge amount of preparation. I remember one drill that sticks in my head. I don't know who the coach was at the time, but he got the full squad of about 30, 35 players standing in the line, and we're just marching up and down the field, pointing forward. He's my man, he's your man, he's my man, he's your man. I think it was a defensive drill at the time. It was one of the strangest things I've ever done, but for some reason, that sticks with me.
Outstanding.
He's my man, he's your man.
Yeah, because they go straight. They only go straight when you're defending someone on the rugby field, right?
That's it, mate.
I mean... Your move though, from you know you've played age group stuff for Canterbury and that, but then you know obviously you've gone down to Dunedin to do a little bit of study and things like that. Though, how did you embrace you know sort of the Dunedin Otago atmosphere down there?
Yeah, I think that was probably one of the biggest decisions I made in my rugby career. Like I said, I'd made some Canterbury teams there. By no means was a star of the region or anything like that. I was probably lucky to make that and get into New Zealand schools. But I remember a meeting with Steve Hansen, who was the coach at the time. You know what he's like. He's a pretty persuasive character, trying to get me to stay in the Canterbury region. And I guess if I was 100% about footy, I probably would have stayed in Canterbury. They, you know, the powerhouse that they are, and you know, their record speaks for themselves. But for me, the chance to go to university and to, you know, get away from a city that I'd spent a lot of time in, that was a big motivating factor. And as any young man wants to do is kind of spread their wings and get a bit of independence away from family and try life on your own terms. So mate, that was it for me. I got a basic contract out of school and went and lived the Scarfy life, mate, played for university and had a great time, scraped my way through uni and ended up staying in Dunedin and playing for Otago and the Highlanders, you know, a lot longer than I planned, but yeah, absolutely loved it, man. It's a really special part of my life, and you know, I love the place, love the people, and really treasure it.
Gee, I mean, that's huge. Like, yeah, you speak about that, and in terms of the whole scheme of things, when you look back, I mean, you meet with Steve Hansen, who Canterbury were dominating at that time. And when I'll come back to Steve Hansen, because you've met Steve Hansen, you basically told him, hey, beat it, I'm going down to Otago because I think, you know, I want to study. So when he was part of the All Black coaching environment, what were you thinking then?
Yeah, Steve Hansen's unavoidable in New Zealand rugby, unfortunately, in that period. But we've got a good relationship, mate. You know, you know, Steve is probably instrumental in giving me an All Blacks opportunity. So, you know, grateful for him and what he did for my career in terms of developing me as a player and then as a man as well. So, you know, things kind of panned out pretty well in the end.
Oh, so he was pretty happy where you kept in contact just as well, eh, mate?
Hey, never burn any bridges, Melzy. You know this.
That's the one, Tomo. That's the one. That's what we want to hear. So Otago and the Highlanders, you initially made the Highlanders, but there was a year that you didn't make it. And then you've ended up sort of, you know, coming back and really transforming into, you know, the player you are today. Tell us about, you know, that sort of comeback and the lessons that you had to get yourself back into the Highlanders team.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably one of the most disappointing moments of my career was I made my debut for the Highlanders in, I think, 2006, got a couple of games. I thought that was kind of it. I'd cracked it and I'd be on a full contract the next year and then things would kind of take off, but they didn't. I remember getting a phone call, Greg Cooper, telling me that I hadn't made the squad, so that was pretty hard to digest. I was, you know, pretty down on that, clearly. And then the opportunity came up to go and have a trial for the New Zealand Sevens and made that, ended up making the New Zealand Sevens team, being on the circuit for a year. And that transformed my game. I credit my time with the Sevens into developing me into the player that I became and still am, actually. Millsy, haven't quite retired. the skills I learnt in Sevens, the fitness, being pushed beyond my limit pretty much. Under Gordon Titchens, who was a coach, did massive things for my game. It's why I recommend that any player these days, if they get the chance to play Sevens, jump at it, because it just takes you to levels that you didn't think you were capable of. I think, as a loose forward, understanding space and, awareness on the field, what to do when you make a line break, and obviously skills under pressure. And it's a game where everything matters. Like, you make a mistake, it could cost you the game. Every involvement is crucial. So in terms of your mindset and your skills, it's a wonderful experience and great for any rugby player.
Mate, you talk about skills, but also skills under fatigue. I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone. There's not one person that's been coached under Titch that has never mentioned the fact that he's just hard on you in terms of the fitness aspect. So when you're in the environment and you're getting thrashed with fitness and things like that, it's pretty good motivator to make sure you don't get back in the team, I suppose, in some ways, and make sure you get picked by the Super Rugby team, right?
Mate, Titch is synonymous with fatigue, mate. That's what he built his whole coaching career around it. But like I said, it takes you to places you didn't think you were capable of doing. Like, you think that you're at your limit, and then you realise you got more in the tank, and you can go to another place. And like you mentioned, man, skills under pressure. If you can learn those lessons and take them to 15s, just being clear headed in the moment. And as I said, every moment in sevens matters. So it definitely makes you a better player.
You're one of the characters, no doubt. Someone that I was sort of, will always remember in terms of that. But tell us about the John Cena. Was it the John Cena wave? I've seen Lelia Masanga and his sort of dancing styles, but you brought that out, mate. Every single try, you scored a heck of a lot of tries too. So your try celebration was second to none. Was he a big fan of yours growing up? You didn't want to pursue wrestling, did you?
Yeah, but I enjoyed the wrestling, like the classics from the 90s, and then I guess I grew up as a kid watching that stuff. But it was actually born out of the sevens circuit, and what it's like on there. It's festival rugby, and my mindset around rugby is you got to have fun, you got to be enjoying what you're doing, and mate, celebrate the little things, and you score a couple of tries, and it kind of just came out of nowhere, I guess it was being on the seven circuit and not in Super Rugby at the time was just trying to give a little reminder that I'm still here. But mate, it stuck. I enjoyed it and I carried it on and still do it today. Like I said, mate, every time I play footy, it's my passion. I love what I'm doing, and it makes me happy. So I'm gonna express it,
mate. You talk about being happy. 2008. You've made the All Blacks. You've come in. Who did you room with? Did you end up rooming with Richie? Who did they put you with?
They put me with Richie pretty much all the time. I guess they were hoping that something was going to rub off.
I'll always, mate, when I say you're a character, I mean, you changed a lot of the sort of the mindset around, you know, people in the environment, you know, that, you know, gone were the days where they said you have to be a certain person, but you're always your own person. You know, if you had to do something, you wanted to do something, speak your mind or, you know, drift off. I always remember Brad Thorne in one of our meetings, in the leadership group meeting, saying, "Mate, is Adam Thompson all right? Hey, he just keeps drifting away." But you're your own man, and you weren't scared to be able to go, "Well, I'm going to go off and you know, and do this." You didn't have to be a certain a particular sort of All Black, and it's something that's always sort of you know, remained in me, the fact that you changed that mindset in some ways, and the fact that you're colourful, you're bright, but you're also I wouldn't say clown, but you're also very, I suppose, you know, funny in terms of, you know, in what you did. Was that something that you were conscious of coming into the All Black environment, particularly when you're rooming with guys like Richie McCaw, who's just straight down the middle? You know that, mate, and and bringing your bubbly self to that phase.
Mate, that's a good question. It's actually something that I guess I struggled with early in my career, because it was very different, and a lot of coaches saw that not as a threat, or just, I guess, didn't know how to deal with it, thought that maybe the my personality was me not caring or not being engaged. But and I actually tried to change it a lot, you know, tried to force myself to kind of do what everyone else did, and you know, thought that's how the way to get places. But you know, as I got a little bit older, I kind of realized that this is me, mate, and this is the way I operate, and I can't really be anyone else. I've just got to kind of back myself and stick to what I'm doing. And you know, eventually I found coaches that you know, that understood me and they appreciated me in the environment. And you know, I'm not going to pretend that I was easy. I'm not for everyone, but mate, all I can do is be myself. And mate, I was 100% committed to the game. I gave everything I had. Just did it in my own way.
2008, you made your debut, as we just mentioned, but you're a Rugby World Cup winner as well. You were in the environment where a lot of, you know, special players have come through. Possibly our best sort of years in terms of All Black history. But that Rugby World Cup, that was something else, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible. Man, what a special time to be a New Zealander and to be a rugby player. It was, it was just so intense. You remember the pressure, the time in the hotels. We couldn't even get out of the front of the hotel. We had to sneak out back through the kitchen. And Kiwis, they mean well, but everywhere you go, it's you know, it's kind of a little jab of, you better win. Yeah. So it's almost like we had the jet fueled up on the tarmac, and if we lost the final, we were handed in our passports and we were off, you know.
Exactly. But you almost, I suppose, because we played Australia in Brisbane, we lost that game, man. You got injured that game. I mean, you hurt your wing, didn't you? And was it looking like you're possibly going to be out for it? Because it's testy times when you're in that squad, Rugby World Cup year, it's about to start in a couple of weeks, and then you've injured your wing.
I remember that game, man, because that's the closest I ever got to the international try of the year by assisting Radiki Samo.
Hey, mate, I was part of that too, mate. Don't worry.
Never let me forget that, mate. that was actually pretty scary, because obviously, World Cup's a dream for a rugby player, and I think the squad had been named then, but I can't remember exactly, but I put a decent chunk into my bicep in that game, and had MRIs and kind of scans, and was pretty nervous about whether I was going to be ruled out through injury going into the World Cup. But lucky enough, it was good enough to stick around and get the job done.
Tell us about now. We're transitioning out of New Zealand and your overseas stint. How hard was that decision, and you know what did you make of it, and leaving New Zealand and for something different?
It wasn't difficult at all, really. I think post World Cup, I had another year with the All Blacks, which I absolutely loved. End of year tour, and then decision to kind of pack up and move to Japan, and it was the right time for me, I think. You know, I'd achieved what I wanted to in Japan, in New Zealand, and for me, with rugby being a global game, it just seemed like too good of an opportunity not to go and see the world and be in different environments and meet new people, and or, you know, almost the equivalent of a working OE. So I'd closed the door on my time in New Zealand, and you know, I was really happy with what I'd achieved, and was excited about a new opportunity, and you know, Japan, after kind of weighing up some options, was the right fit for me.
There wasn't going to be, I mean, you know, you saw it as the right fit, but another massive challenge, obviously off the field, in terms of, you know, what happened and how you were hospitalised up there. And that was huge in terms of, you know, where you've come from and sort of what you've been through as well. I mean, you look back at it now, mate, such a tough thing to go through, but if you can give us an insight about sort of, you know, that time in your life.
That was huge for me. I guess it's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to go through in my life, physically. I had a pretty lucky career in terms of getting through with only really minor injuries, if you look back on it. And this is my first major setback. And I think there's a part of every rugby player that kind of thinks that he's 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And for me, that was the first time that I kind of got struck down and there was nothing I could do about it. You know, I had lumbar discitis, which wasn't diagnosed for a couple of weeks, which is a bacterial infection of the spine. So the bacteria kind of settled in a disc in between your vertebrae, which is, you know, really low blood flow area. So once it gets in there, it's really tough to get out. But, you know, just huge amounts of pain. Being in a country where I didn't speak the language very well, you know, it was a different system in terms of you couldn't just walk into an A&E and get treatment. I think I got bounced around to about three different hospitals at about midnight when I tried to go to hospital. And then, yeah, again, it took a couple of weeks for them to diagnose what was actually going on. So just being in a lot of pain without not much pain reliever and you know, getting wheeled off to CAT scans and MRIs and blood tests, and then no doctor being able to tell me what was going on. So it was pretty dark times, but I had an amazing partner, Jesse, yeah, who was one of the best the whole time. We'll always be grateful for that, you know, and a coach by the name of Dave Dillon, who was coaching me at the time. He absolutely went to bat for me. You know, was in the hospital bed, you know, looking after me the whole time. So in a weird sort of way, I'm actually really grateful for it, Millsy. It was I can look back on it now and you know, realize that sort of adversity actually changed me and made me reassess what you know, a lot of things in my life, and overcoming that and you know, having the mindset to get through an ordeal and to come back and play footy, which was, you know, I made that decision pretty early on to, you know, to be that this isn't going to be the last chapter of my footy career. It's going to be on my own terms, and you know, I didn't have any grand designs of coming back and being a super rugby player. I just wanted to be on a club rugby field and play the game again and sign off on my own terms, and that you know, that drove me through you know, the rehab process and getting fit again and getting back home.
Right, that is massive, and it's huge, and the character that you've shown throughout that whole ordeal and to come out the other end. But tell us a bit more about how special Jess was, and to have her over there. I know she's a big part of your life as well. Tell us how important she is in terms of that support, because we don't often see that. We see, you're right, the 10 foot tall, you know, All Black, you know, he's tough and he's, you know, he's not struck down by anything, but it's often the support. In this case, you know, Jess, and you've spoken about, you know, Dave Dillon and how wonderful he was, but particularly her. being by your side. I suppose she'd be, she would have been on the Google side of it as well, Google Translate, making sure that was okay.
Yeah. I guess in hospital, so Google's your worst enemy too, especially, you know, you start Googling the diagnosis and that, and then all the horror stories come back. So, but yeah, I can't say enough about her. She was an absolute trooper. The hospital was about 30 minutes away from the house that we were staying, and she, you know, she drove in every day, you know, a couple of times a day to, you know, to be by my side and to make sure I had everything I needed. And she brought me food from home. She slept on a little roll-out camp stretcher by the bed as much as she was allowed to. And, yeah, she was my little pit bull, man. She, you know, she just gave me everything she had. And mate, it was incredible to have a supportive partner like that, you know, to get you through a time like that in your life.
And you've got a love for photography now, mate. Does she push you along those ways, mate, or has it always been something that you've always wanted to do, mate? I see you've got a few portraits behind there, brother, and you've got a couple of flash cameras probably lying around somewhere there too.
Mate, I guess that was, photography started for me and my love for travel, like I mentioned, leaving New Zealand, it was a big opportunity to explore the world. And Jess and I love to travel. Every opportunity we got in the off season, we'd jump on a plane and head somewhere new. And I just wanted to, not so much document where I was going, but photography gave me, kind of opened up the way I saw the world. It makes you slow down when you have a camera and you kind of, you look for little moments and you actually start to see people a little bit better. I love, you know, just photographing people in their own environment and seeing, you know, how different parts of the world work. And, I guess you talk about the photographer's eye where you just see things a little bit differently. And that was what drew me to pick up a camera. And then, it kind of developed into, into work stuff. Now, you know, I do a lot of photography for Jess and I have a skincare business. So, you know, so I'm doing a lot of product photography and a lot of portraits for that as well. So something that was born out of passion and now it's, you know, it's put me to work a little bit too. So it's good.
You're talking about your business side of things. You're very business minded now. You know, I mean, you haven't sort of finished up as you've mentioned. But you're very driven also, you know, off the field in terms of, you know, photography, your skincare range that you've just mentioned, but also, you know, plant-based food and stuff like that. Has that just come about through experience and things?
Yeah, I guess it was, I mean, I've been plant-based for about 4 years now. It was curiosity, really. Like I read a little bit about it, you know, saw some of those documentaries on Netflix at the time, which were pretty popular. Had a bit of time. I think it was in the off season where I started. I thought I'd just give it a go and see if it was the right fit for me. And I actually really enjoyed it. Felt great. Energy levels were balanced. And then kind of got through about a month of it, and realized I didn't miss meat. And it just became second nature to just to be plant based. And when you take meat out of the equation, it pushes you to to try different recipes and try different foods. And I guess, Jess is part Malaysian as well. So there's always plenty of spice and flavour in the food. So, for me, taking meat away wasn't a huge deal.
Something you're coaching, have you sort of tried and implemented that on some of your players, mate?
Mate, I don't. I absolutely don't force vegetarianism or plant-based on anyone. I'm definitely open to having a chat. I played for Otago a couple of seasons ago, and I can't remember the name of the NFL documentary that came out. If you remember the name, but about half the team came and hit me up and was like, "Oh, how do I go plant based?" I don't know if I've got many converts, but I'm always open to talking about it and sharing my own experiences. And I just say, give it a go. If it's a fit for you, then great. If it's not, it's not. But live your own life.
Let's talk about the coaching now. I mean, you're saying you're still sort of you know, you're still playing and things like that. Are you a coach that says, are you a, follow me, this is how you should do it, because I know I do it? Or how do you transition into that? And because when, once the guys are on the field, you can't do anything.
Nah, that's the stressful thing about it, mate. I think last week we had a game where to do it, the Chiefs curtain raiser. It was the most stressful I think I've been in a long time. It's actually more stressful being a coach than it is being a player, because it's like you just have to let them go and then do your own thing, and you don't have any control anymore. But mate, I'm loving it. It's you know, it's definitely a transition and a new challenge, but it's pretty cool. And it's a way for me to you know, to still be involved in the game.
I notice you've got your own media company behind you. Is that Jess that just came through the door there with the phone? Maybe she requires. I was going to ask her to come on there, mate. Hey, so
I think she heard. I think she heard me talking about her.
Wanted to get it on the ground. And so now you're with old boys. You still got aspirations, yep, just to put the boots back on. How far up are you sort of looking in terms of? I mean, you're looking in great nick. I mean, what are we looking at? NPC or another year NPC, mate, or what?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm officially a player coach for old boys, so we've got a plan in place for me to go back and play a bit of club. And, mate, that's just for the love of the game, because I still feel good. I still feel like I can contribute on the field. And but that's not going to be me standing in the way of young players being developed. It's, you know, unfortunately, we have a pretty thin squad with a few injuries, so you know I'll fill that role, you know. But if there's fit guys ready to go, then they'll get the priority. But again, it's you know, I'll see what happens at minor level. If I can get through a club season and body's feeling good, and there's an opportunity, then that's great. But I realise you know, I'm at the tail end of my career now, and it's about young guys developing and getting opportunities. So mate, I'm more than happy to fill a mentor role and to do a bit of coaching, and you know, if I have to play because you know, we're a bit thin, that's what I'll do. But mate, any way I can be involved with footy at the moment is just, you know, just like I said, it's my passion. So mate, I just want to be there.
Would you love to be back in there in an admin role, where you take your coaching, is your aspirations to take your coaching sort of, you know, to the next level professionally?
I haven't made up my mind about how far I want to go. It was really about testing the waters. It actually started, I think, with the Chiefs last year. I got called in for injury cover, ended up staying the whole season with them. Played the odd game, but actually, you know, took on a bit of a mentor role with some of the young Locks and Lucys, and, you know, started coaching them on a bit of detail and kind of, you know, just around how to approach rugby career-wise, and you know, just the little things I guess you take for granted as an older player, and you know, just passing on that knowledge. And I got a real kick out of seeing some of those guys actually, you know, light bulb moments where they you know, it stuck with them, and their game grew, and there was that excitement and kind of I guess shared joy in knowing that you'd worked hard and it paid off, and then that growing as people and growing as players, and that for me, that sparked the desire to test out the coaching waters.
Oh, that's so awesome, Tomo. Mate, I could talk to you for days on these sort of things. It's bringing back a heck of a lot of memories from when we were in the All Blacks together. But I didn't really realise that about Steve Hansen, just before we go, that you haven't burnt bridges. So hopefully, mate, he might still give you a call up to the old, who's he coaching, Toyota, mate? You might be assistant coach there, since you haven't burnt that bridge, mate. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I might have to dust off his phone number and give him a call. But yeah, I think he's, director of rugby at Toyota. But mate, Mills, you know what it's like in footy. It's just a massive family, isn't it? Like, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, you bump into to guys that you you know, you played with, or coaches, and you know, even people that you don't know, but you've already got that instant connection, because you know, rugby's the fabric of your life. So mate, really, really special game, and that's why I still want to be involved with it, and still what drives me. So mate, pretty happy to have done what I've done, and excited about giving back.
Oh, good on you, Tomo. Hey, thanks so much for your time, mate. I apologise for calling you yesteryear, mate. You're very much relevant, my brother. And I look forward to catching up with you.
I'm still in denial, mate, but yeah. It'll come, mate.
It'll come.
Let it sit with me for a while, okay? We'll come back to it.
Good on you, brother. Thanks a lot for your time, Tomo.
All right, brother. Pleasure. Thanks, Millsy.
Cheers, mate.